Welcome to the Cyclomatic Fogcast.
It's Friday. It's after work.
And this is the Cyclone Fanatic Fogcast. Get my geek on. The Cyclone Fanatic Fogcast is presented by Iowa's most recommended real estate agent, Mark Charter.
Now, hear this.
No other agent in Iowa offers more when you buy or sell your home through Mark Charter, including a customizable commission plan when you list your home. You choose 5, 6, or 7%. Read more about Mark Charter and see why he is Iowa's most recommended realtor at Trulia.com and MarkCharter.com.
This is how we roll.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Mark Charter, Chris Williams, and Adam Gray.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Hopefully a little less controversial than last week's that got mixed reviews on the forums. We'll bring in the man responsible for all the content here on the podcast, the guy who pays the bills, Mark Charter, Mark Charter Real Estate. What's up?
Hello, fellas.
What's
turn
up, brother?
Turn up my mic second.
You're up.
Myself.
You're hot. You're hot.
I can't wait to talk about last week. That was quite entertaining.
It was. I thought we got a lot of reviews that it was the best podcast ever.
Yeah, you know, another example.
And then another review that we're ruining the youth of America. We are the problem with America's youth.
It was... I didn't think it was that bad, but I don't even want to say a couple people. Maybe it was just one guy.
One guy had his panties in a wad.
Well, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
So we don't need to,
I know Gray
don't need to dwell on it. It doesn't work for everybody.
Gray
not everybody
is chomping at the bit to talk about.
Gray would rather Gray if it were up to Gray today, we'd be breaking down the third string linebackers heading into the spring game.
There's a whiteboard sitting over here that has not been hung up on the wall yet.
We need to get that hung.
I want to get that up and go X's and O's with you guys. That to me is the perfect podcast.
There's a reason the Gray does not control the content on this thing.
Mark, you brought a friend today.
I brought a friend. Introduce yourself, friend.
Hi, everybody. My name is John Olson. I'm Mark's friend.
John.
Hi.
In the house.
Now,
yeah.
Now, John, that's...
I know Mark for a long time now, and Mark graces me with his presence at Iowa State basketball games sometime.
And
I think a few weeks ago, you even said my seats were crappy in the first seat of the balcony, if memory serves.
No, I said they were crappy in a great way.
but you know? The more you go, the more you appreciate them, I think you said, too.
No, absolutely. So, they're great seats. They're right by the stairs. They're right by the bathroom. I mean, it's easy.
If he's too big time, I will gladly next year go with him.
Hey, I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll
even buy you a beer or two.
I'd love it.
There you go.
We should do it. Clones
are going to win the national title next year.
They might.
That's what they say.
They might.
What are you going to give? Are we going to do a Final Four giveaway for next year?
Sure. If we're still doing the podcast, then sure. You know?
What, are you going to bail on us?
What's going on?
You just got another referral yesterday.
You know?
Have you ever had any sort of advertising give you direct results like Cyclone Fanatic?
No.
There you go.
No.
We don't need to dwell on it. I just need... Did you hear how long it took him to answer?
Let me get back to my special guest here today.
But now he's threatening to leave.
Where's the Final Four next year?
For a second. Houston?
Houston, yeah.
Drivable once again. But Johnny, the reason Johnny's here is... So a little background on John real quick. Because John is a modest fellow. So I will do this for him. But...
He's the opposite of Adam.
It's ironic.
And Mark.
It's ironic that...
Go to hell.
It's ironic that John was here, though, because... John and I went to the same high school.
Elementary school, too, for a while.
Yeah, and John...
Then you left.
John. You're sitting here talking, and we're doing... And John's just sitting here on his cell phone, just texting. He's
checking
not making
scores.
He's not making eye contact with anybody.
I'm not.
The master's is on.
I'm checking scores, man.
Johnny knows where I'm going.
I love it.
When I talk about our history, Johnny knows where I'm going. So, but when I was 16 years old, I was dating the love of my life at the time.
Katie?
Named Amber.
Oh.
Not named Katie.
Was
named
she
Amber.
Hot?
And, well, I'll let Johnny address this.
You're going to bring the story up.
So anyway, I decided the relationship, in hindsight, I don't know why I decided it, but it wasn't working. I broke up with her. And like the next day at school, I see Johnny giving her a hug.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, that.
We had homeroom together, man.
you know?
At the time, Mark and I weren't very good friends.
You were hugging her. Where were your hands? That's the key.
So I
can't remember.
I hated.
Use your imagination.
Hated him. Like, just despised him. I thought this guy sucks.
Charter would walk around in the hallway with his hat really curved and way down.
Oh yeah,
that was the style.
So that was him. And no, there's no flat bill at the time. No, but you can picture a very curved hat down completely over his eyes. I think he was just livid anytime he saw this. And I don't know why'd you end it, just to end it?
I don't know. I got bored or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then Johnny started dating her.
Yeah, the love of your life, and you just got bored.
And then Johnny started dating her, and then she ended up going to another guy. And at some point, I think I tried to get her back. And it was, anyway, convoluted mess. Johnny did not end up marrying this girl, nor did I. So it all worked out fine. But anyway,
Where's she at now?
She's in Ames.
What's she look like?
I'll pull her up on Facebook for you.
It's kind of creepy.
Is it really? I mean, it's a public thing.
Yeah, he asked.
No, yeah, that was. I went down that aisle.
So anyway, why John is actually here though is it's the Masters going on, and hopefully we'll talk a little golf. But Johnny is, in my opinion, the best golfer in Iowa, and amateur golfer.
Thank you,
I will say that. And literally last year,
better than Hoiberg?
Probably not.
Way better than Hoiberg.
Nobody's better than Hoiberg.
So
he's pretty damn good.
He is pretty damn good.
Every year they have a amateur player of the year award in Iowa. John was the winner of that last year.
Nice.
John has won most of the major events that they have around Iowa.
The Iowa Masters?
I haven't won. That's the only one I haven't won yet.
Vinker's a bitch, man.
I grew up playing there too.
Yeah,
he's really good.
And I had a good opportunity a couple years ago to win it, but I kind of shot on the bed there. So, good friend of mine beat me in a playoff.
If you ever need a caddy.
Hated him for it, but, you know, we're friends now.
Who is that?
John Brown. You know John Brown from Urbandale?
No, I don't know John.
Urbandale? Yeah.
So, John is also John also led Ankeny Centennial to the school's first state title.
You're the coach?
The first year of their golf program, they go out and win state.
Wow.
We had a lot of good players. Talent will help coaching any day of the week, my friend.
So John knows what he's doing when it comes to playing the game of golf.
You like a weak grip? Strong grip?
Depends what kind of shot you want to hit, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about just like a hack like me? If I just need one standard grip.
Oh, just the standard.
You know,
two knuckles, two and a half knuckles on your left hand, one knuckle on your right.
You know Chris Seebach?
Yeah, I know Seebach.
Well, he revitalized my game.
Did he?
Yeah.
I saw Seebach last week.
Great guy.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying this. I hadn't played golf for like 3 years, and like it was just a disaster. Like Grace saw it. Like when I would hit the ball, it didn't matter what the club was. I would pop. It would be a pop fly to the right about 100 yards. I mean, driver, nine iron, pop ups to the right. That's all I was hitting. And I'm not a good golfer by any means now, but it's at least fun now. I can go out and. You've seen my game progress over the last 2-3 years, and it was I took like 4 lessons with that guy. He changed everything.
No, he's good. He still teaches too.
That was a great story, by the way.
Ooh.
I'm showing them the picture of John and I's ex.
You both let Amber get away.
Well, she left me for my buddy. That's him right there.
That guy that...
Is Amber's husband going to be weirded out that we're doing this?
Probably.
Yeah.
I doubt he's a listener. I doubt he's a listener.
It wouldn't surprise me if he is a listener, though.
I need to be nice.
He's a big cycle.
I need to be nice to Luke, though, because...
He's a good guy.
Luke
he's very well known in the
Luke,
in the
Luke
Ames
works
community.
At First National Bank, and that's where
he's
I'm funding my new house through.
Oh, okay.
So I think Luke kind of oversees the loans and stuff up there, so won't say anything too bad. But no, Luke was a great athlete. Amber's a great girl. I don't have anything bad to say about either one of them.
John's
this is one of Charter's favorite stories of all time, though. Whenever we get together, he's always talking about it. So.
Well, see, I'm leaving out the part that I really should be talking about. But
you should leave that part out.
Because I got in trouble last week, which leads me into not going down a certain road this week. I think it was somewhat important this week to say what the podcast is actually about. For people that didn't listen last week, we got a little bit of heat on the forum, and it wasn't even a forum topic about the podcast.
I knew somebody would not like last week's. I told you guys when we were done, I go, this is going to get, there are going to be some raised eyes.
But honestly, I don't think it was the comment that...
We're toeing the line here.
It wasn't the game, I don't think, was the comment that tweaked off on the forum. It was Darkstar. Give him a shout out.
Let's just refer to him as Bright Star. Maybe he'll flip over a new
leaf. All right, so Bright Star got on the forum, and last week we played a little game called Shag, Marry, Kill, which made Chris very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I didn't.
But then I also mentioned, because you were talking about your wife, and I had asked if your wife had gotten a little medical procedure done. And that's
the stitch.
That's a common thing.
Yeah,
known among men and doctors, they talk about. Well, somebody got on and said, I am dragging Chris and the site down. We're spewing filth, all sorts of fun things.
It was filthy.
And Adam Gray actually came to our defense a little bit, which was nice, especially considering he probably agreed with what the guy was saying. Yeah.
I never swore before in my life until I met Mark Charter. So yeah. The only reason I cuss on podcasts is because of him.
So, but what Gray said on the forum, which is true, and if you're listening to this for the first time, what you should know is, what is the Fawcast about? The Fawcast, the term Faw is Friday After Work, even though now we put this online on Thursdays for whatever reason. But
it's helped listenership, though.
Meaning,
gives them an extra day.
Yeah, so meaning Fawcast, Friday After Work, meaning what do you do Friday after work? You kick back, you relax,
have a beer,
you have a good time. And that's the point of this thing, in my opinion, at
Absolutely.
Least. So, yes, from time to time, we're going to talk about things that are a little off color.
You didn't hear Jeff Woody on here and I talking about stitches.
No.
On Tuesday. We have something for everybody. That is the point. And there is a large population of our readers, listeners, who aren't, they don't want X's and O's sports 24/7.
Yeah.
And for you as an advertiser, it's the best. People are getting to know you. People get to like you, and that's going to help you.
This particular person seemed to be the one that wanted Cyclone stuff all the time. And that's great. And that person should not listen to this. And they should listen to something else.
Every other piece of content we produce, that's what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is a nice deviation of that.
When you listen to Dan Patrick, is it sports 24/7? No.
He does a lot of celebrities and various topics.
We are three and today four guys sitting around like we're sitting around a couch drinking beer, watching sports and just talking about
it. I wish we had beer.
We do upstairs.
Well, I know, but I wish we were drinking it. But
he says drinking beer. Johnny has nothing. Adam has a Gatorade. Chris has a coffee, and I have a slushie.
Masters Thursday, though. That is always a tempting thing to do.
So anyway, for anybody I offended, I do not apologize because, frankly, what I said was not bad. And
you shouldn't apologize.
That's just my opinion on that. And if you don't like it and you don't like me, so be it. But I'm going to be me on these things, even when it makes Chris uncomfortable.
It doesn't make me uncomfortable. I know what I'm getting into.
It makes me uncomfortable.
I'll be honest.
You know it makes you uncomfortable. Yeah.
This is my favorite hour of the week. I truly mean that. I love recording this podcast. It is my favorite hour of the week.
Well, that's a good thing, I guess. And let me hog the mic for one more second, too, because I have an important shout-out today.
Okay.
April 9th, 1980, Katie Charter was born. So it is her birthday today. Johnny is a good friend of
Happy
Katie.
Birthday, Katie.
Known her forever.
Did you give Katie a present this morning?
I did not give her the present because I won't go there. See, I still filter myself.
Shot down?
Not possible.
Ant flowing down?
Not possible. We have a visitor. Right now, my wife, well, not right now because this isn't live, but in a few minutes when this goes live, she's going to be shaking her head at me. But I'm going to make up for it by the fact that yesterday I got her a nice present. Got her a necklace.
Bet you did.
Got her a necklace. And I've got more presents to pick up later today. But
Katie's on my trivia team.
You'll be seeing Katie, and she's going to give you crap
on Katie's going to slap me.
I feel like I'm part of the family.
Gray, your face is so red right now.
This is terribly inappropriate. I'm going to join Dark Star in a forum post on this one. But I've never actually met your wife yet, and I feel like I already
know
her
because
really
you were invited to my son's birthday party and stiffed us.
That was your
one time to do it.
You know what? I actually realize now after hearing the story about John, you don't forget this stuff. You hold these grudges against people.
No,
don't
see,
you?
Here's the difference. Here's the difference. No, do I hold a grudge? Absolutely not, because I got over it and am friends with Johnny. Johnny's a good friend of mine. But will I ever let him forget it? No.
But there's aspects that I don't let you forget either. So.
All right. So I got to go here just for.
No, you're not.
I'm going to go here just briefly, and I'll make it real edited and real tame. Okay. So I was a young man at the time, and I was a typical 16-year-old guy, and wanted what all 16-year-old guys want from their girlfriend:
quality conversation.
Quality conversation. Conversation. So that's what we'll call it for the duration of this conversation.
Yeah.
I wanted quality conversation.
Okay? A lot of it.
And she had never had a quality conversation with anybody up to that point. Okay? So she she said she wanted to have that conversation with me, but wasn't quite sure. Anyway, I decide it's over. It ends.
Because she didn't want to have that quality conversation with
apparently
you.
Apparently, she didn't want to have it with me.
Yeah.
Okay, so next in line hops up Johnny. Well, Johnny must have had really good things to say.
I hear Johnny.
I'm an interesting guy.
Because he's got a great short game.
Because they did have a quality conversation. So I missed out on the conversation.
Wait a second. So you had a quality conversation with Charter's wife?
No, this is not the wife.
No, this is not. This is not.
This is the girlfriend.
Mark's bringing other.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Katie.
No. We're back to the girlfriend.
I did go to homecoming with his wife, though.
You did.
Did you have a quality conversation?
No.
Keep up here.
We had interesting conversations.
We're back.
But not quality.
Not quality.
So we're back to the first girlfriend.
There's a very weird history.
So anyway, Johnny, whenever he wants to get under my skin, because I'm like, okay, you know,
is the master's on right now?
That bothered me for a while that happened, and then. We were golfing out at Briarwood one time, and I'm getting ready to tee off, and I'm in my stance. I'm getting ready to hit.
Yep.
And Johnny, like right in the middle of my backswing, starts talking about this quality conversation again, just to
with your girlfriend
to rib me and rub it in. So this happened. How old are you? This is like 20 years ago,
maybe.
Something to that fact, and it's still talked about to this day. So. Welcome to the podcast, Johnny.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here today. It's nice to be here and to share wonderful conversation with you guys.
Not a quality conversation.
If you asked her, would it be considered a quality conversation or would it just be, you know, a conversation?
It would have been a quick conversation for Johnny. Yeah, not a quality one, but still.
No comment.
Johnny knows when to shut it down.
I have no comment.
Here we are, just ruining America's youth.
I can't believe Gray's still here. I thought he would have walked out of
Grace,
the room
when
everything's on the table and you get...
When I brought up Aunt Flo paying a visit to the Charter House, Gray's face looked like a cherry.
By the way...
So inappropriate.
For the record, I want to reiterate, Chris brought that
up. He did, yeah.
Not me on that particular subject.
Why else wouldn't she want to have a quality conversation on her birthday?
It's her birthday.
You gave her a nice gift last night.
The guy wants that as a birthday present.
You gave her a nice gift yesterday, though.
Not that type of gift, but yes, I gave her a sparkly gift yesterday. And she went on Facebook and she said, okay, so everybody's married. Does anybody else have a wife like this? And yes, it's her birthday, and no, I'm not ripping on her. I love her, but I'm curious.
Sounds like you're ready to rip on her.
I'm genuinely curious about this. My wife is horrible at receiving gifts.
Yeah,
do you have wives like this?
My wife sucks at it too, yeah.
So I give her a very nice gift, and immediately the questions start. How much was it? Why did you do it? Why did you buy it there? It's too much. Yeah. I don't deserve it. Instead of just saying, thanks, baby. That's awesome. And that's really what I want.
Thanks,
just,
baby.
You know, so if you give your wives gifts, do they accept them well, or do they ask 20
questions? My wife takes everything back.
So you're a bad gift buyer.
No, I'm not.
Why does she take it back?
She just doesn't want them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One, she'll take it back to get credit for other stuff. I got her some boots a little while ago. She didn't like the boots. I got her some shirts.
So you're a bad gift giver. I mean, you can just
say needed boots. I like the boots.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get her perfume that smells good.
Yeah.
She might take it back. She might not. She actually kept... I got her a book for her birthday.
With all due respect, your wife sounds rude.
She kept it. I would love to have her keep the gifts I give her, but she doesn't.
So, I'm admittedly a terrible gift
She's at home right now with her son, so thank you, honey, for being a good mother.
She's okay. Yeah, what... You stink at giving gifts?
I'm horrible at it. Absolutely awful.
Nice gift when Cameron was born.
I did.
That a bottle of scotch?
I can give gifts for guys. I understand.
Guys, because that's a gift.
Guys are easier to shop for.
I'll buy you a bottle of whiskey. You'll like that.
Yes. If you're a guy, you would say, what would I want? Then you go buy that.
That's the one thing I think women miss on gift giving for dudes. If you just get us beer or any sort of alcohol, generally, we'll enjoy it.
Probably be all right.
Or something golf-related for me.
Be good,
too. I mean, anything.
Well, I want to get into this golf conversation.
Let's do it.
Because now that we have the best...
Gray's wearing green today, too. That's nice.
Now that we have the best golfer in Iowa here.
I'm not the best, but I'm...
You do what you can.
So John here, he's the champ. He's the reigning champ.
He's the defending amateur player of the year.
Gray...
had a good year last year.
God love him. Like, he truly believes that he should be the champ.
If I had enough practice, if I
do
was
you think
to
that you could
practice,
beat John
you have
here
to be
golf?
Confident. You have to believe, Gray.
Gray, what is your best score you've ever shot, Gray?
74, but it was at a piece of shit golf course in Solon, Iowa. That was easy, a links course.
Yeah, I know that golf.
How many mulligans did you take?
No mulligans.
That's my cousin. Gonna give a shout out to her, Karen Butler.
Yeah.
You remember Zach Butler Center?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Karen's husband. That is one of Karen's favorite golf courses.
So John, in comparison, what is the best score you've ever shot?
Subtract 12 from what Gray said.
62.
Yeah. Few different occasions.
You ever played down at Clarinda?
No.
Mm. You're going to come down with me sometime.
We should.
We have beautiful. A golf have trip a planned for this summer.
Yeah,
we're going to go down and play. Then we're going to have beers at the Shittily D.
Shittily D.
Shittily D?
Which is a bar in like a Morton building,
yeah.
Apparently.
Perfect. You know, I'd love to live in a Morton building.
Ice cold.
Seriously, I mean, have you seen these places?
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, you just make a house inside it. Mm-hmm. You're talking about putting this golf simulator in your place.
In my new house, yeah.
I mean, you could put a golf simulator in a Morton building. You can also, heck, you put a bowling alley in there too, man. You could have all sorts of fun.
Gray, if we build our new house next spring when it's done, I am seriously considering putting a golf simulator in the basement.
I will be
you
over
guys can
every
come
day.
Over. We should just do the podcast there.
Because I got to get practice to be able to beat John someday.
Dude, that's never going to happen.
You're not going to ever beat him. You can't even beat Bloom.
But here's the thing about a good golfer. So I've had the privilege of golfing with Johnny a few times. Really good golfers don't look that great when you're watching them play. It's just like really good professional athletes make it seem easy. So I was playing with him cold water last year up in Ames.
That's a tough course.
And I was stinking. Like, you know, I'm not a horrible golfer, but I'm certainly not great. And Johnny also has a photographic memory for golf scores. He doesn't have a scorecard, doesn't need one. You know, you finish 18 with him.
Yeah, but it's easy for him. Like, it's par, 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 birdie.
Well, I know, but you can say, tell me about the second shot you hit on 5. And he'll know immediately. So we get done at Coldwater last year. And I'm like, John, what did you shoot? And it was just me and him just out having a good time. And he had shot a 66. And it was... Mm. No, yeah, you were...
65.
Okay, 65. So he had shot a 65, but here's my point. It's almost boring in a way to watch him because every tee shot is down the middle.
Is that boring for you?
Every John? Second shot is to the
not.
Green.
The shoot
is
65?
No, man. Yeah. That was one of the better rounds I played
not
last year,
not a single
too.
Bad
I hit
shot
every
the whole round.
Yeah,
not,
that's I don't think I'd ever driven.
It's hard to do it at Coldwater. When you play that course late in the summer, my God, that ball just keeps rolling.
Yeah, it's really firm. A couple years ago, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it just rolls into that brush, and it's really hard to control.
Yeah, they took a lot of the rough out there, like the primary cutter rough. Then you have the no-mo and everything, too. They're slowly incorporating the rough back into it, but you're right, because you could hit 3-iron or 3-wood off the tee, and they go forever.
Yeah.
And if you just kind of missed it a little bit on the right or left, you're in 4 feet deep stuff.
I can't tell you how many times on one there, because they used to sponsor Fanatic, and we used to play there a lot, and I would go driver on one, and it'd be a great shot, and it'd just keep rolling
over the green.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, no, I'm not hitting it that far, but it gets so hard.
Yeah. What's I'm curious of your opinion on TCI. I'm helping Chris here because Chris is sponsoring, or they sponsor Chris.
I'm endorsing TCI this summer.
Yeah,
I love that course.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's a good golf course. It's a really good golf course. I like when you're sitting there on one tee box and you're just overlooking everything. I mean, that it shouts Iowa. At
beautiful,
you
right there.
It's a gorgeous hole. I think there's a couple holes out there that aren't my favorite. 10 for one isn't one of my favorite holes. But overall, it's a good place. They had our state tournament out there in high school last year, so they were kind enough to host us, and they did a great job with that. I think they had state out there a couple years too. There's the Iowa Match Play. The Iowa Golf Association hosts a match play event every year. That's going to be out at TCI, so they're hosting us this year too.
I love that
they do a lot of good things for us.
I just love like the bar area too.
They have that tree in the middle of their bar.
That's like the best place that I've been as far as when you're done with your round and just sit and chill.
Mm-hmm. The view.
The view is amazing.
They have a great buffet. They have great food there.
Yeah.
And you know, the homes around there are beautiful. It's just a really cool setting. It's a good place to play golf.
So
I'm glad you're going to be out there.
Other than the obvious answer of practice a lot, I'm willing to bet there's a few people out there that listening that do golf and do want to get better at golf. Any tips, Johnny? What can somebody that just really wants to get better do?
work on the fundamentals just like anything else. Like if you're playing defense in basketball, it's all about defensive position, working on the fundamentals all the time. Same with golf, where you're looking at your lines for alignment purposes, that has to be good. Grip needs to be pretty good. As far as grip pressure, 95% of the people I talk to are always gripping it way too hard.
Should be loose.
So it should be loose. Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the tightest, 1 being the most loose you can get, I'd probably say 3 or 4. And then you got to keep it at that same amount throughout. You know, so you want to have loose arms, loose hands, you know, loose upper body, and just turn back and turn through. Try to stay connected with things too. So if you're a right-handed player, keep your left hand
Don't have your phone on while you're playing golf.
So, important. Now that we're talking about golf, phone's going off. But keep your lead arm. If you're a right-handed player, be your left arm. If you're a left-hand player, be your right arm. Just connected to your body as long as you can as well. That keeps you on.
I was given a tip. Danny Wilson Toyota, one of our
– Yeah.
Told me to – this really helped my game. Put like a golf towel mm-hmm. in between your left elbow. I'm right-handed. And – In your side, mm-hmm. your torso.
Yeah, that stays connected. That's a lot of what I'm talking about. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you have to go down as far as to your elbow. I just kind of keep it under my armpit.
Yeah, well,
I do that drill sometimes. If I'm not hitting it good, it gets you right back on plane.
Yeah, yeah. And that helped me a ton.
Mm-hmm. Because it's getting you on plane. You just rotate through, or you rotate back and you rotate right through.
That reminds me of a drill I used to do like way back when I played baseball. Like we're talking Little League and stuff. It never made a lot of sense to me, but. Talk about it's just how you swing the bat instead of having a wide swing. And Gray's the baseball all-star in the room here.
That's not true, a little bit.
He's got a field named after him. So
nice.
I named it after myself.
But the drill was basically standing almost to where you can easily reach out and touch like a tree in front of you. So that's right there. And still being able to swing the bat without hitting the tree. And what that does is you're clearing your arms all the way past the tree before the bat head comes around. And it's just it reminds me of this golf thing because I'm sure I don't swing right in golf. But Johnny does. He knows what he's talking about.
You can do that same kind of thing if you put your butt up against a wall.
Yeah.
And you're going to take a backswing. You want to keep the club pretty close to the wall the whole time. You don't want it to hit the wall because it's going to be laid off in that sense. It also helps you keep in a solid position too where you're not moving all over the place.
Isn't it amazing when you watch the pros play their backswing, how far they can go on their backswing? And
their shoulder turns huge.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. If I try to do that, I mean, I would
you're
be
spraying it everywhere.
I'd be taking out the earth with me. You know, I'd be just taking a huge divot. I have to shorten my backswing so much to be able to make good quality contact. Those guys can just – it's unbelievable.
They're showing Rory up here on the Golf Channel right now. I mean, his shoulder turn on the way back, I mean, it's amazing how flexible he is.
Rory is shooting even.
I've read that in like Golf Digest or something that one of the biggest mistakes amateurs make is they don't stretch and warm up enough.
You have to stretch. I mean, especially for us coming out in April, like right now, if you guys go out and play, right? I mean, how often do you guys stretch in the wintertime? I think I stretch like once a quarter.
Never.
Yeah. So you go out there, you hit a few balls and whatnot, you'll be pretty tight. You know, you're talking about your back and all that, Gray. You know, I've been playing quite a bit lately. I'm going to Florida for an event next week, and my back's tighter than a drum right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's cold. It's not used to these movements I'm doing, and that's my fault for being stupid and not really preparing properly from a physical point of view. But, you know, anybody has to worry about that stuff, and they have the best people in the world following them every week.
It's
impressive.
How many shots will a pro take on the range before?
Oh, it varies. Everybody has their own.
What about you?
Routine.
What do you do? Like, if you're playing in a big tournament, how many shots do you take?
Not a lot. Just get loose. I mean, there's a couple years ago, I would probably hit 20 maybe. There's been times where I don't hit any. Yeah, I don't have a real set routine with that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get loose and go from there. I think more important is finding the speed of the greens in that sense from a competitive point of view. If you're going to be in a tournament, you want to know how fast the greens are.
Putt for dough.
Putt for dough, man. How they're receptive or if they're firm, if you're chipping, that kind of stuff. So
he can't win dough. He's an amateur.
Yeah.
He gets clubhouse credit, though. Set the record straight.
Yep.
So if you were to go play the Masters and you're playing from where the professionals are, tee boxes, where do you think you're shooting?
I have no idea.
Come on.
Buddy of mine,
number out there.
Mike McCoy, who's won more Player of the Year awards,
he's
won 10 or 11. I think
didn't
won
11. He play?
He played in the Masters last year.
Yeah,
he shot
like
78, 80, I think, or 81. But at the time, I mean, Mike could have shot a lot lower than 81, but he's trying to make the cut. So he's going at every flag. and he's going at everything he can. He's playing aggressive as can be. Where if he was just in a normal competitive atmosphere, he probably would have shot 75 or something like that, playing a little bit more conservative things. But 153 is not going to make the cut there at all. So he's just trying to make birdie after birdie after birdie. Now, I've never played out there. I don't know what edge.
Have you been there?
I've been there. Yeah, yeah. Buddy, classmate of Mark and I, David Kinley, lives in Atlanta, and he took me out there. It was either 2004 or 2006. It was when Phil won.
Oh.
So, and it was for a practice round. It was on a Tuesday. And I just remember we entered in kind of over around number 16. There's a back entrance in there, and it's like you're walking through a really manicured, very nice park on the way in there. And you don't think there's a golf course around you at all. You kind of hear little claps here and there and whatnot. But then all of a sudden you look down on your right, and there's 16, and there's guys trying to skip the ball across the pond on 16. Vijay Singh was down there. Charles Howell III is down there. I'm like, oh, my God, this is, you know, this. Here we are. It was pretty cool. And then we just walked around the entire – just the entire course. And the thing that struck me the most was how hilly it is. And that's what a lot of people will tell you. But you look at number 10, when you're looking back up the tee box from the green and where that is, 10 green is actually way elevated from below the ground. It's 15 feet above the ground at least. So I never knew that. And then looking back up the hill, it's like a ski slope is how steep that fairway is and how long it is. It's amazing.
TV doesn't quite capture that.
It doesn't capture it at all. The manicuring of the bunkers is amazing. And then you look out, like, you guys have all played Vinker, right?
Yeah.
Vinker's a fun golf course. I grew up playing Vinker. Love it dearly. And you look off in the trees and whatnot, you see a lot of limbs down and tree trunks down on the ground and whatnot. Augusta doesn't have any of that stuff. And there's trees all over the place.
But if it falls, they pick it up.
They pick it up.
But it's perfect.
And basically, it's very affordable to go there, too. You know, if you're going to buy a shirt, it gets a little pricey. But if you want to buy a beer and food,
dude, I saw
like $3.
Like the pimento cheese sandwiches are like $1.50.
Yeah. They're not that good, but you have to have them.
Yeah, you have to. It's part of the deal.
But to
go isn't cheap.
To go watch the
Masters.
I don't even know what the tickets are and all that, you know.
Would you rather play, because I know you tried to get into the U.S. Open before, and you've gone to qualifiers. Would you rather play in the U.S. Open or the Masters?
I'd rather play in the Masters.
Just for the experience?
For the experience, one, it means you did something really damn impressive to win a USGA event.
It's harder.
Or a large amateur event.
Yeah. It's a smaller field, so less people play the Masters than play the U.S. Open.
Yeah. So I don't want to be picky or choosy, but I'd probably choose the Masters, but I'd take either one. Yeah.
Who'd you pick this week?
I think Phil's going to play really well. He's off to a good start. He made a couple bogeys, it looks like. I picked Rory. It's supposed to rain, and all the majors that he's won, it's rained at. I was talking to Charter about this earlier today, where that's going to widen the course for him, because the ball's not going to roll very much. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in the fairway, it makes the fairways bigger for him, and it does for everybody else for that matter. But the greens are bigger in that sense also, where the ball's not going to release. It's not going to roll as far, so he can control his distance a little bit better, and he hits it far enough anyways, or it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And he putts it good. So,
and he's got a high ball flight, right, which he can carry the ball further than most guys.
If he wants to, he can.
Doesn't that in return, like, just kill, like, the Zach Johnsons and Brant Snedekers of the world?
It hurts him. Yeah, because they don't hit it as far. Eric, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you fly at 275 and you rely on 10, 15 yards of roll to get to 290, you know, that 275's not all that long anymore when a guy's flying to 300, 310.
Yeah. Or Bubba, it's like Bubba at 330. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Bubba wins either. But
that would be incredible to me if he could just, you know, the odds of him, what would that, 3 and 4 years if he would win?
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
I just would.
John was saying, by the way,
the worst.
See, you say that too. So I saw him on.
I don't have the despair.
The other night he was
like
on Fallon. Fallon, and he was good. And I've always thought highly of Bubba because he's never had a swing coach, et cetera.
Yeah, he just does his thing.
He's self-taught. But Johnny was saying there was a poll the other day in a magazine or a website or whatever. And you said like 23 of the players picked Bubba as basically the person least liked on the tour.
Mm-hmm. Bubba came out and said, hey, I got to improve as a man about that. So he took that to heart. I don't know him from anybody, but you know, from when he plays well, evidently they tell a lot that, you know, he's got to be in the right frame of mind. So I don't know if that's going to affect him much or not.
He's kind of a feast or famine type dude.
He is. A lot of people.
I see that as a lot of these stuffy golf guys don't like the dude. Grows out his hair, talks a lot,
yells at his caddy, makes excuses, cries if for any reason.
Is that what you don't like about him?
A little bit of everything. I mean, he hits a bad shot and he turns around and yells at his caddy. If he misses a putt, he stands there. I don't know.
Who's your guy, Gray? Who do you like?
Gray's like Dark Star.
My favorite golfer is Tiger Woods.
I know.
And Tiger Woods can absolutely be a huge baby on the golf course.
I was going to say, that's a little bit hypocritical, isn't it?
Tiger's one of the biggest babies.
He's one of the little biggest bitches out there.
Yeah.
But he does it.
Everybody has those
moments. You talk about Bubba. At least Bubba, I mean, doesn't. How many tournaments has Tiger just dropped out of over the last 3-4 years?
Yeah, but I don't just physically see him
whether
cry
it's injury
every
or whether
time.
He's won, you know, please. Rory did it a couple years ago with
We've
Florida.
Totally yeah. seen Tiger do that. Act like a little bitch out
see,
there.
First off, people notice
there's a lot
Tiger,
of guys that withdraw on a weekly basis. You don't really
don't
hear
know,
about because they're
not
that big of a name.
Yeah,
you know. So I mean, there was really crappy conditions in San Antonio a couple weeks ago, and 5 guys withdrew in the first round because they didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah,
it was blowing 35 miles an hour, and it was 40 degrees.
Yep. Before the cut was over, I think it was like almost double digits they had for guys out there. Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Does Tiger have, and not just Johnny can answer this, but I read an article yesterday. It was 5 reasons Tiger can win. And I was talking to you, Chris, about before we started, and you said no way. And you basically laughed at the thought of Tiger winning.
He's not way.
Any chance Tiger can win?
Yes.
Well, there's a chance, but he won't.
Johnny, what do you think?
I don't know, man. I think he's in a good frame of mind.
He's loose. Caddying for him yesterday.
Kids are out there. That's a good thing. That's a good distraction for him. It seems like he's a little more laid back. And maybe he's changing his preparation about it, and he doesn't want to throw out all those large expectations that he's thrown out prior, just to lessen them. Expectations, as you guys well know from a basketball point of view and for what you cover, that can be a huge hindrance to you at times.
Yeah.
But he can absolutely win. I think it'd be a great story. I think something really special is going to happen this Sunday. Last year was pretty anticlimactic. The past couple prior to last year were pretty good as well. But
I hope he wins for that.
I'd love to see him and Rory just go at it once or twice.
Oh, imagine the ratings at the Masters.
Just imagine with a final leaderboard of Phil, Bubba, Rory and Tiger.
Or like a final pairing of Rory and Tiger Sunday at the Masters. Yeah. I mean,
did you guys see that commercial?
That'd be fantastic.
The Nike commercial where Rory grows up idolizing Tiger.
Johnny and I were talking about this. We both loved it. Like that's an awesome commercial.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. It's good. It's real. You know, I mean, that's anybody who follows a sport when they're growing up, they want to be like somebody, whether it was being like Jordan as a basketball player, whether it's being like, you know, Fred Couples was my guy growing up. I love Fred Couples. Then Tiger comes along, and Tiger was coming around when we were in high school at the time. And then you see all these ads that he was doing, the Hello World commercial. That was pretty cool, I thought. Now they're doing this stuff with Rory, and it's nice. It's a whole new generation of kids that can look up to him and hopefully does a good job.
I'm convinced there's a reason that it's so difficult to become a professional athlete at the top of your sport. Rory certainly qualifies. And that commercial, and obviously I don't know if it was biographical. I assume it was somewhat. But that commercial reminded me of the rarity of people that, you know, they show this kid at this very, very young age hitting balls, going to the range, playing in the rain, all that stuff. Because obviously he had a drive to do something. And another example of that, and I'll relate this to Iowa State, so people are like, oh, yeah, they did talk about Iowa State basketball, at least for a minute, although this will be in a bad way. National championship game on Monday night, Grayson Allen for Duke. That guy wanted it. He's a freshman, and holy crap, did he take over. Give me the ball. Get out of my way. I'm going to bail us out of this 9-point hole, et cetera. You can't teach it. You can't teach a desire like Rory had to get good. You can't teach a desire like Grayson Allen had on Monday night. I don't think anyone on Iowa State had it. This year, I think we lacked it big time. You put 5 Grayson Allens out there on the court, not even from a talent perspective, but from a desire perspective, you're going to have a really good team. And as a father of a 4-year-old, you just wonder, what is my kid going to become? Is he going to have a desire to be really good at something or not? Because I think you're born with it in a lot of ways. I think Rory was, Tiger was. The greats, they just want to be better than everyone else. And it certainly, I don't think, comes from their dad demanding that they have to be better. It's just
like you're describing Adam Gray.
Tell us about your childhood, Gray. What happened?
I have no idea where that came from.
No, I gave you a compliment.
Oh, thanks. I now have a desire to work my golf game to where I can stay within 10 strokes of John Olson.
Let's do it.
That's my new
So you want to know how Johnny and I bet when we go golf? So how does somebody that's probably a 15-16 handicap...
He probably gives you a stroke a hole.
It's a good bet.
How does a 15-16 golf against the best golfer in Iowa and make it fair? So what we came up with is this. We'll bet like $50. Mm-hmm. I have to beat him on one hole. That's the bet.
If I, for 18 holes?
Yeah, we've done it, what, half a dozen times, and we're about even.
Yeah. So you just need to stick one on a par three and make a putt.
I need to birdie something, basically. And the one I beat him on last time, we were playing the Harvester.
Love that course.
And I don't know if we did. I think we did double or nothing.
We did double or nothing on 18.
On 18.
And he sticks it to like 20 feet.
Across the water, you know, a wood. Par five. I basically had an eagle putt. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he couldn't believe it.
That's an intimidating shot, too.
I hit two perfect shots.
Yeah, no, you did.
And
you
I'm like, stepped up. I'm like, where did that come from? Because
I think, I forget, I think if I said, yeah, if you make birdie, it's double or nothing. I need to make eagle, then double or nothing on my side. Son of a bitch makes birdie. So, you know, I am, what, maybe it was 100, 200 bucks. I don't know what it was. It was what it was, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But that's not a bad way to do it. If you got a friend that and you like to gamble, but they're way better than you, that's actually a decent way to do it.
And it keeps you interested throughout the whole thing.
Because
you could
be awful for 16 holes, but you still got a chance. Yeah. So, anyway, so when you and Olson go play, Gray, this will be the bet that you guys will make now because he'll kick your butt.
Yeah. We got to get John down to Southwest Iowa on the tour with us.
Before we do that, I think we need to hit up a little TCI. Here, you know people over there. So a little foursome out of TCI.
Too. Yeah, we can do that. Over there. That'll be fun.
That would be nice.
Hey, are you guys, are we going to the spring game? Anybody going to the spring game? I know Gray's not.
I cannot. I've got a commitment at Drake that day doing something with a class down there.
Is there a real estate class?
No, it's like a social media class. So I'm going to go talk about my business, and they're going to come up with social media plans to help my business, and then I judge what they come up with and pick a winner.
You sound like Trump.
Basically.
Saw Trump last night.
He rubbed off on me. I shook his hand, got a nice photo with Trump.
Did you shake his hand, Greg?
No, I didn't.
Why didn't you get a photo?
I'm not a celebrity jersey chaser. You know, I just kind of sit back in the weeds and look at them and just, you know.
I was making the point to Gray and Olson yesterday because we were both there at this Trump thing, and this is absolutely true. So, first of all, two comments on Trump. Really bad spray tan. He looks orange in person.
Yeah.
Yes. Number two, the hair is absolutely real because you can see the bald spots kind of coming through it, and it's wispy in certain areas. Everybody wants to know about the hair. Hair's real. Bad, but real.
It's impressively bad.
But here's why I admire Trump. Trump gets away with being the biggest bragger you'll ever meet, and people still like him.
They do?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I don't like him.
People eat him up. So Jack Whitfer, and Johnny said, I knew that was coming. I agree with Johnny. Jack Whitfer introduces Trump yesterday, and while he's introducing him, Jack says, Trump's built one of the best brands
in the nation.
That's what he says. And he goes,
he's going to say the world.
So Trump gets up there. Correct. It's like, thanks for the introduction. He's like, the nation? It's like, the world, you know? Everything he does is a record. This is a record crowd. That was a record-selling book. This was the biggest building ever, whatever. And I think, obviously you don't, Chris, but I think people still like him for it. He gets away with it.
I don't like dislike him, but I'm not going to.
You were too good to show up and shake his hand, so that's why.
I had to work. I think a guy like Trump would appreciate a man working.
Nah, I don't know. He'd probably appreciate you coming to meet him more.
Well, I don't understand how Gray, like, why did you even go?
To be hanging around with John and Mark. They're my celebrities. I don't need to see Trump. I have the Iowa amateur golfer sitting in the room with me. You think I give a shit about Donald Trump?
You talked such a big game, like, oh, yeah, I'll send you a picture of me and Trump and all this stuff, and you were going to send one to Rob Gray, who really hates Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What happened? Did you get cold feet? Did you get scared?
I met John.
We had a good time yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We had a great time.
Yeah, very, very, very.
Why would I leave the good conversation that I'm having with these guys to go meet Donald Trump, who's not going to remember me, doesn't give a crap about me? I don't care. I don't care to meet him.
I'm reminded I need to do something. Well,
your tone has changed so much in 24 hours, though. Is my point.
It was fun to see him.
Feels to me like you got scared.
It was fun to see him. It was a good event, well run. I appreciate the invitation. Mark,
so
thank you.
You bet. So before I forget, this is important. Well, not important to Chris because Chris has already poo-pooed the crap out of this thing. But Chris is a big celebrity. So we launched the FAWCast Twitter page earlier today. I did.
Okay.
I did. So if you listen to this and you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at FAWCast.
Eagle.
At FAWCast. And
isn't there like an exclamation point or is that just in the name?
That's just no. Oh, you don't have to put the exclamation point. So at FAWCast. So if you want to know what maybe we're going to be talking about on an upcoming episode of this, if we're going to do a meetup, if we're going to do a golf event, if I'm going to give away a bunch of money, whatever, join this so you can figure it out. So I launched this earlier today. Chris is like, when I say the numbers, but 116 followers right away. So thanks for that.
It's already more than I have.
Earlier, I posted that I was going to give away $50 to someone that followed us, and I will. So I'm going to let Johnny pick. Johnny, here's a page of all our followers.
Can I choose follower number 39 because
right
that
here.
Was me?
No, just scroll through here and find someone that you think looks interesting or whatever, and tell me who that winner is going to be, and we're going to announce it here. And then we'll announce it on Twitter, obviously, as well.
Okay. Wow.
So
this
we'd
is,
love for,
this
we'd,
is nice.
We'd love for you to follow us if you listen.
Okay.
At Fawcast. And while you're at it, at Chris M. Williams. What is yours?
That's it. You got it.
At Adam J. Gray.
17.
17.
Yep.
You guys are too confusing. You need something like at Iowa Real Estate. Like Chris should be like.
My name.
Chris should be like at Big Time Radio Host.
No.
At I'm better than you.
At I'm rich, bitch. Something like that.
At come check out my bank account.
C-U-M.
When do you want me to choose somebody here? Should we choose somebody
right now,
or,
man. Right now.
Okay.
Tell me who's winning.
We'll go with Matt Schultz.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's the sports information director.
Assistant director of athletics. Can't
he
do it. I just saw that fat ring right there.
He is a huge podcast listener.
Sorry, Matt.
I guarantee he'll hear that.
I just saw a cool ring right there.
Sorry, Matt.
We'll go right above.
Apparently, you're not the winner.
How about an avid sports fan, Cyclones, Braves, Chiefs, and Thunder, Tyler Peterson?
Braves?
Tyler
now
W.
We're
Peterson.
Talking.
Has a nice photo of Hilton in there.
All right. At
old school size.
At Tyler W. Peterson. You just won $50.
Attaboy.
And he's a Braves fan. Who Braves are 3-0, well on their way to a World Series this year.
So we'll tweet that out, and you can thank John Olson for that.
While we're talking about our followers, want to wish a happy birthday to JWright07 on Twitter, class of 93 at Iowa State, same class as you guys.
That guy tweets at us all the time.
He does.
He's a big Fawcast fan.
He is. I don't know what birthday it is, somewhere in the 40s, I believe, but happy birthday, buddy. Thanks for listening.
Happy birthday. I'm not going to buy him a present. I already spent all my money on my wife for her birthday, but the shout-out, that's a birthday present.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
Gray just made this guy's birthday. Way to go.
He's an avid listener.
God bless you, Gray.
Chris is, but as always, Chris is really the big deal in this operation. So how about a happy birthday from Chris?
Happy birthday, buddy.
There you go.
He likes Busch Light.
Nice.
He always tweets to me about Busch Light as well.
And also for the record, Dark Star, if you're listening, Adam,
Bright Star.
Adam swore today.
Twice.
Chris swore today.
I said bitch. You can say bitch.
Plus,
that's not an FCC violation.
Chris mentioned my wife's Aunt Flo visiting.
I don't really understand the FCC guidelines.
I don't either.
Obviously, and that's why you're not on our KXNO segment.
Oh, that's why?
Yes, because I don't trust you on there.
Wow.
Wow.
You've proven yourself not worthy.
Actually, what he's saying he doesn't trust is his producer, Andrew Towns, to hit the button in time to bleep out what you're saying.
When this is all going down and Chris is getting ready to do the KXNO job, he's like, hey, I will get you on. You'll be one of my guys to come on. You'll be it. He's been on, what, 3-4 months now? How many months you been on KXNO?
I started February 9th.
The only reason...
Okay,
the
so
only
2 months.
The only reason we haven't had you on my segment yet is because I'm actually there to try to talk... a little business.
Yeah.
And if we don't get to that, then the bang for the buck drops.
No, I understand.
Big time.
Just don't say it's the whole Fawcast crew is in KXNO studio because that's obviously a lie. You're missing
Chris,
someone.
No, what Chris says is it's the most two important guys of the Fawcast.
That's what he said.
I heard him say that.
That's true.
See, he's not even denying it over there. No. Partially because he's not even paying attention.
No, I'm...
I'm following golf.
I'm just working a little bit.
Chris needs a nap.
Mickelson, Eagles.
I need
eight.
A beer.
Eagle on 8. What do you follow it with?
He's still on 9.
Oh, okay.
Who's chiming? Is that you, Johnny?
No, that's
no, I did not
so.
Try.
What I do? I have this app on my computer where anytime I get a text message, it comes to my computer instead of, and that's what's going on. All right, guys. Let's do Masters picks before we wrap it up. I picked Jason Day. You guys both went with Rory. And you went with Tiger. Arrogantly went with Tiger.
So here's how
I like that choice.
I do too. I actually give you a lot of love for that. That's great.
Yeah. Well, Monday AM, I'm in two leagues with my brothers and with you guys in Bloom. I sent both of them a message saying I'm taking Mickelson. Lefties typically have had a lot of success at the Masters. They can control the fade. A lot of holes favorite. So I went with Mickelson.
It's easier to hit a high fade than a high draw.
Yeah, you can control a little bit better, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So. All of a sudden, Twitter's blowing up with Tiger. Golf Channel's blowing up. He seems relaxed. They say he's playing pretty good. And me being a Tiger guy, I'll be honest. I bought into the hype. I started talking a little smack to my dad. My dad says, why don't you shut your mouth or pick him? You know, put your money where your mouth is.
Sure.
So I said, sure, I'm taking Tiger. And he's going to win it now. I'm telling you.
But do you believe it?
I hope he does. I think everybody does.
I think everybody hopes he does.
It's just Tiger Woods is fascinating because he was at one point, a lot of people hated him just because he was so good. Now he's kind of like the underdog and he's such a great story. People are rooting for him again. It's just crazy. He started off that everybody wanted him to win.
Yeah.
He's this African-American kid, comes out of nowhere, and he's just kicking everybody's ass. Then he gets too big for the minds of the haters, right? And then everybody starts rooting against him. The contrarians are really the people who stay with him and root for him. Then he just gets crushed. Everything in his life gets turned upside down, and now we're all rooting for him again. Well, that's society.
It doesn't help that he, for the most part, he was a prick.
It's a great comeback story. Yeah.
But that's the thing. How did Tiger maintain so many people loving him after what he did in his personal life, which was basically cheat with a bunch of porn stars and get divorced? Most people in normal life, if they had a friend that was doing that or whatever, they'd be like, I'm probably not going to hang around with this person too much. Or
if Gray did that, I'd still hang out with him.
You know, but like, how did he maintain so much popularity through all that?
I think a lot of people understand they're an athlete. I mean, if people only cheer for people Kobe, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan wasn't a saint.
It's kind of like if there wasn't world prosperity and world peace when Bill Clinton was president, the whole getting your, you know, that would have
Monica.
Yeah, I mean, he'll go down as a good president despite what he was doing on his personal time, just happened to be in the White House. Mm-hmm. And I think Tiger's a decent comparison.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
By the way, if you
and that'll get everybody fired up. Now the political crowd's going to attack.
If you vote for Trump, America will be rich again.
That's what he said.
He said it yesterday. I heard it out of his mouth. So.
He did.
I don't think he's going to run.
I don't either.
I think he talks about running to keep his name in the papers.
That way he's relevant to go and back whoever he wants to become the next president.
This is why
no intentions of ever becoming president.
I don't think he does either, but this is why I love him. It's just listening to him talk is funny. Like yesterday, he was like, I'm all around America, and America's a dump. I was in the airport. It's a dump. You know, this is a dump. You go to China or whatever, it's great looking. Their bridges are great. Everything's great. You come back to America, it's a dump.
Get into LaGuardia. It's a dump.
Yeah.
Flying to Kennedy. It's a dump.
Everything.
America's going to be Detroit in 20 years.
He doesn't mince words.
From that standpoint, I really like Trump.
He doesn't mince words.
He's funny to me. Like, he entertains
me. Wouldn't you love to see him in a debate, an actual presidential debate?
Oh, I would love
Wouldn't you tune in to see what he was going to say?
Absolutely. How epic would it have been, like, during the re-election last time to literally lock him and Obama up and let him go? You know what I mean?
And he said Romney choked.
Yep. He said at the end of the election cycle,
he says, Obama's on Letterman and Leno and all this stuff. He's like, and Romney wouldn't come out of his house, you know, 3-4 weeks in the election. Like, where was he? Just disappeared. He forgot how to talk. That's what he said. I mean, he just comes out. I don't think there were any reporters there at this thing, but he just says whatever.
There were cameras,
but there was no, there were picture cameras. There were no video cameras.
Could you imagine the pressure of running for president?
Oh gosh.
I can't, like, dude, like when my wife was pregnant, like the amount of just pressure of knowing I was going to be a dad. Like I had more health problems in 9 months than I had in 30 years prior. Like I can't imagine the stress of like everybody, like people's jobs are literally to dig up every crappy thing I've done in my entire life. Like that would be like, so I can't kill Romney for that.
Don't you?
I can't even imagine.
Don't you legitimately question though anybody that wants to intentionally put that pressure and that burden on themselves?
It's weird.
And you could say, oh, they're a social servant or a civil servant. They want to help people. I don't buy it.
Man, especially like Hillary.
I don't buy it.
Like, think of, like, she watched her husband go through all that after he publicly cheated on her.
And
she
wants to go.
And then now, like, it's not like she's been having a cup of coffee the last few years. She's getting drilled for all this other stuff. And now, like, for her to openly be like, yeah, I'd like to be president.
Anybody that runs is power hungry, though. You have to be. Yeah. You're seeking the power. And obviously, if you become president of the United States, you're set for life. You just are. You're going to be rich for the rest of your life. You can go anywhere you want, blah, blah, blah. That would be appealing. But you see what the physical toll it takes
on a president.
Most of
these people, though, are rich anyway.
Look at every president, though.
Other than Clinton.
Look at every president that started their term and then 4 years later, how they changed physically.
Oh, God. They look
huge,
like...
Huge
the stress and the things that you find out about the world that nobody else knows about.
Huge stress. I can't imagine you sleep well
No.
while you're the president of the United States.
You can love or hate any president, but like, you got to respect them. That's how I look at it. Because, like, what they go through, and that's how I view it, at least. I know there are people who vastly disagree with me on that.
I think by and large, they're all trying to do a good job, too. It's just a really friggin' hard job.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine?
Especially now. Like, it's so different with all these 24-hour news channels and stuff. Like, that, to me, like, we want to talk about, like, why our world is so split down the middle. It's your Fox News and MSNBCs.
Yeah.
Those things didn't exist 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Now you've got every blowhard who's a radical or a crazy liberal. They've got their own talk shows. They're on Twitter. Like, in generally, the people who really care about politics, they're not watching the other. So, like, if you're a crazy Democrat, you're not going to be watching Fox News to get the other side to learn more.
Yeah.
You're going to just be continuing to get brainwashed by your own people who are don't even represent the majority of America. The majority of America is moderate. We're not all crazy like the rights and the lefts.
Yeah.
I think this got off on the wrong foot.
I think if you could change one thing, and I don't think this is ultra political, so I'll try not to make it that, but if you look at our current president and his resume before he became president. He was a city organizer, I believe is what they call it. And then he was a senator for, I believe, 2 years. And then he became president, essentially. Doesn't it seem like there should be some heavy criteria to become president? Have to have been a governor, have to have been a senator for 10 years, have to, you know, something to build the resume to say, I know how to get along, I know how to do it, etc. Just seemed like it was too easy. It's like trying to get into Harvard on a C average in high school.
I get what you're saying. I still think it's up to the people. I mean, if they vote for the guy or girl.
But unfortunately, the people will pick the person that sounds good in an interview.
Sounds good and looks good up there in front of the camera.
Yeah. But the vast majority of people aren't going to dig too deep into the issues.
I understand what you're saying about, you know, being a governor in the past, and you have experience in leadership from that point of view, where as a senator, you have leadership, but it's a different form. You know, I don't know how many times you got to balance a budget of a state when you're a senator. You're in the mix of it, but the governor's making the decisions a lot of the times. Anyway,
classic podcast. We're topic jumping like nobody's business.
We need to wrap it up.
Like nobody's business.
You ready for trivia? You got your trivia game face on, Charter?
I'm ready. Apparently, I'm going to have to compensate for you because it sounds like you might have a few that night. You deserve it.
I'm going to really let loose and have some fun at trivia.
Will you do me a favor? Will you do me a solid and introduce me to Coach Hoiberg?
If he's there,
on Saturday
he was off recruiting last year, so I don't know if he'll be there. Okay. It's a live period. I doubt he's there.
Okay.
I don't know that, but
he'd been there every other year before that.
Yeah, I know, but it's like live period now. Like, I don't know what the case was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But the live period just started today, so I would assume, like, with 4 scholarships open, he's on the road.
Now, if you guys...
Yeah, he's got to be real busy right now.
Yeah.
If you guys finish in the top 75 for the first time in Cyclone Fanatic history. Well, I have officially lost my spot.
Yes.
On the team. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I actually think this is the best lineup we've ever taken.
I'm going to be embarrassed.
No, I'm not even taking a shot at you.
No, I would probably agree.
If we don't finish in the top 75, I'm going
to
be embarrassed.
This is the best lineup we've ever taken to
trivia. Dude, just wait till you get the questions. They're the dumbest questions.
They are stupid questions.
They're dumb.
Like, it's how would anybody know this type of question?
Like, you weren't alive back in 1965, so you don't know it.
It's like, name the actor in this 1960s television show. Like, who cares?
And you've never even heard of the show.
So the people with the teams with the
old
participants.
Yeah, it's the old people.
You need like 60s, 50s,
40s,
and
30s. Dark Star, he'd be really good at it.
I wish we could have snuck my dad in there. He was the guy we needed.
Well, kick Katie out.
Yeah, kick Katie out.
I can't kick my wife out.
It's her birthday week. Did she get a week? Like a full-on week.
Chris, have you met my wife yet? I know Gray hasn't. Have you met her? Can't remember.
Yeah, I met your wife at a basketball game.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
She's a huge sports fan.
She's not excited to meet you then, because been there, done that. But your wife will be there, right?
Yeah, yeah. We found a sitter.
She can meet the wife then.
Yeah. Hopefully they become friends.
That'd be nice.
I've been trying to get my wife and Gray's wife to become friends for a long time, and it's just not happening.
Yeah. Gray's wife's too good for her?
Yeah, she doesn't want to hang out with her. Those Johnston people look down upon us Bondurantians.
See, I'm at least close enough to Bondurant where I'm willing to make the drive.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've made the drive to Bondurant. I've been there.
Did you get pulled over and stopped by the Popo on the way?
No, and I even had stuff to drink at Founders.
They don't like outsiders there in Bondurant. They see someone that doesn't look familiar, they just pull you over.
Just put a rack of deer antlers in the back of your car. You'll be fine.
I should.
That would work.
All right. You boys good?
You don't like... We're done now that we're ripping on Bondurant. you can say something about Johnson and the podcast keeps going on, but as soon as we turn it back to Bonnerant,
no, it's just that we're
cut it off.
We're at 57 minutes. We need to wrap
it up. Oh, good. I got 3 more minutes to tell you what I think of Bonnerant.
I love it. I love this podcast.
I don't care.
No, we're good. We can cut it off.
He's sensitive. Happy birthday to my wife. I got one more in there.
Hey, John, thanks for coming over.
Thanks
man.
For having me.
Did you have
thanks
fun?
Thanks for having me, guys. Absolutely. Love
can
listening
you,
to you guys.
Can you later on in the summer maybe take a look at my swing?
Let's do it. Clear into TCI.
Yeah, man.
Take you up to cold water.
I'm dead serious. Like within the,
I love
within the next month.
I think that's where I play mostly, actually.
It's fun.
We got to go to TCI for the next month.
I like those guys.
Yeah, they're really good guys.
Yeah, Randall's.
I don't want this golf thing to be like the typical invite for Gray. We're like, hey, Gray, we're going to do this. He's yeah. And then,
I'll support you fighting children's cancer research and then not
and
show
then
up.
And then he doesn't show. So we're actually
let's fight pediatric cancer and then no show.
We're gonna set a golf time.
I don't remember ever saying I was going.
Kevin Streelman did talking about pediatric cancer yesterday.
No.
This is a really cool story. You know the par 3 contest?
Yeah, yeah.
He won the par 3 contest yesterday. So he calls a local children's hospital and says, hey, I'd like somebody who's able to and willing to come out and caddy for me in the par 3 contest today. So I think he had a 9-year-old kid who had cancer.
Man, that's awesome. So cool.
Walks with Kevin the entire time. And I've played with Kevin before years ago when I was playing professionally. And he makes more 20-footers in a round than I've ever seen. But he has this 9-year-old kid with cancer go out, and he wins the par 3 contest. What an experience for the kid. You know,
that's so cool.
Do they make good any for money too. For that, by the way?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's just for having a good time. But it's just a really neat story. Look that stuff up, whoever's listening, because that's a really neat thing to do.
Yeah. He's I might even too. Talk
Kevin,
about that
Kevin
on
went to Duke, so
the radio
he's a happy
show
guy right now.
That's a cool story.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
We'll see you.
Good time next week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Remember the Twitter page, @FawCast.
@FawCast.
Mark is running it, so... Whatever he does, whatever garbage he spews.
Is not affiliated in any way with Cycle Fanatic.
For the record, again, I spewed no garbage this time, and you two clowns were the culprits.
This is true. So long, everybody. Thanks for listening.